I love my kids.
I love my work.
And we're not apologizing for it. Welcome to Whole Motherhood, a podcast for moms who love their kids and their work. I'm Hillary Barnett.
And I'm Amanda Phillips.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Whole Motherhood podcast. I have a good friend with me today, Lisa Anderson. And Lisa is an ordinary woman with a shattered plan and a God who shined through. I love that, Lisa. I love that. She has a love of stories and life sharing. Lazy rivers, and charcuterie. See, I know, this is why I know why we're friends.
It's all the good stuff, Mary. The good stuff.
She is passionate about seeing mothers well-supported, right there with you on that, and specifically teen moms who are often pushed to the margins. And she is the founder of Grace's Table, which is an incredible nonprofit up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which I've had the privilege of witnessing the service she does there firsthand and the way she serves these moms. And I am so pumped to have you, Lisa. This is a long time in the making.
Yes.
So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Hillary.
Absolutely. Lisa and I go back a little bit.
It's true.
Can we go back to Dream Year?
Yeah, like 2013 maybe?
Yeah, that was a Dream Year.
Yeah, Virginia
Beach. Dream Year days. And then I got to stay with you for a writing conference where you were so gracious to open your beautiful home to me. And we had tacos, and that was...
Does it get better than that?
No. Books and tacos. It doesn't. That was the best trip because I remember Tessa was small, and I was like, I have got to just get out of Dodge. Like, I was like, honey, I'm going to drive to Grand Rapids alone. And he was like, what?
What's happening? You're coming back, right?
Like, I've secured a place to stay. I'll see you in a week. It's like, okay.
Oh, my word.
I'm so happy to have you. I know we've, as most working moms do, it takes like several tries to like get things to actually come together. And we did it because you are a busy, busy lady. So I would just love to start with like a little bit of your background with regards to your story and kind of how Grace's Table began and how that kind of grew out of your personal story. I would love to hear that.
Yeah. I guess my background, just a little bit, I became a mom at 18. So I found out when I was 17, I was a freshman in college. That was not part of the plan. That was maybe a bonus for the ride of life. I was trying to figure out what, you know, you think you have all these plans and things sorted out when you're 17, right? Because you know what life is going to throw at you.
Sure.
And then finding out that I was pregnant, that just kind of shifted everything as I was making decisions of what my next steps would be and deciding that I was going to parent my child and figure out what life looked like next. So that was a little bit of a lonely journey, just figuring out how to be a mom, a really young mom, and then doing it alone, and then also trying to balance all the demands of motherhood and life in general. So working, providing, trying to keep up on laundry, which I still haven't figured out.
If somebody figures that out, please let me know.
Right. Yes. Please leave that comment somewhere for us. And then it's so funny. My life kind of took a turn of, I have always just been very people-oriented and a gatherer and wanting to create community for people. And the furthest thing from my mind was anything to do with finances. And yet that's where my career led me, was into, God has a sense of humor in that he landed me working in real estate law and finances for very, very large companies.
Oh, wow.
It really was a God thing. It was by his grace for sure that I had those opportunities and I just worked really hard, but it provided a really good life for me as a young mom, raising a little guy by myself. So yeah, it's a little bit of my background.
I love that. And your son is now how old?
24.
Oh my gosh.
There is hope. If anyone is on the like really young side of mothering, really little ones, it's good. You survive. Sleep you happens do? Again. You oh, do.
I need to be told that every day.
You will survive. You will survive. They will survive. We hope they will survive. Yeah.
They'll survive us. We'll survive them. It'll be great. Right?
Yeah.
I love that. 24. Wow. You did it.
I did it. I mean, I'm still doing it. He lives at home. okay. He actually helped today get the, so that I could hear for the podcast. So
he never really stopped doing it, I guess.
I don't think so. You know, our deal has always been that he could live here until he was 25 because I wanted him to leave my home debt free. So he's finishing paying off college. And then that was a gift that I could give him was
time,
space to work towards launching into life debt free, I guess. That was something that I could do. So but then you know what? No, because we're never done because I still, you know, I want to talk to my parents whenever I can. So yeah, I don't think parenting ever ends.
That's so good. And so you were in finance industry before, and then when did you shift over into nonprofit? Like what, how did that shift happen?
Yeah. So I actually worked for, a very large bank and, they really encouraged their employees to give back in the community and would actually allow every employee up to 2 hours paid per week to volunteer somewhere. And so about 9 years ago, 9 or 10 years ago, I started mentoring young moms in the community. And I would do that on my lunch hours and then take a little extra time to just meet them at the alternative schools and provide lunch for them and just give them a place to ask questions, which was really neat. So it was interesting just how that all came about, because as a young mom, I really struggled with loneliness, which I don't think that is a young mom thing. I think that is something that all moms struggle with is there's a shift that happens in our identity from being an individual to then assuming this title of mom that seems almost all encompassing. And trying to figure out, are we still in there? Or how do I navigate friendships or just the world or even at work? Like, am I still me or am I an employee or am I mom? Like, how do you navigate wearing those hats? But I really struggled as a young mom with just the loneliness and isolation that I think is even maybe a little more intense for teen mothers, just getting pushed to the fringe or marginalized. There's a lot of stereotypes that happen in that space. And also my personal story, there was a lot of shame involved in what it wasn't what the plan was for my life. Right. That wasn't what was expected of me. It wasn't what I had been dreaming of. My community wasn't they didn't necessarily embrace me in that. And so, yeah, it was just a lonely time. And so when my son Neil was little, I just started kind of thinking, if I'm this lonely, I'm sure there's other women that are that lonely. And maybe someday I could create space where other young moms wouldn't have to be alone or feel this way. So that is what, you know, that was what kind of drove me, plus my experiences to reaching out to young moms. And then I started running or helping run an organization that reached out to young moms in the community. And that was just part-time work that I did on the side. And all of this was happening in a period of life where my son was in high school. And so as I was kind of taking stock of life and evaluating where we were today and where did I want to be in 5 years when he was maybe going to be leaving home, and me trying to work through identity stuff, what did I want for the next phase of life and how would I start building into that? So mentoring moms, kind of leading this other program. And then I really realized I live in a very faith-based community, I guess you would say. I think Grand Rapids is called like Little Jerusalem sometimes, or the Bible Belt of the Midwest. Or what do they call it? They call it Jerusalem. Jerusalem, I think is what.
That's funny. I've never heard that.
All these things, like I've only heard these things in the last couple of years, but it makes me laugh. So, so there's a lot of focus in our community on ensuring that young moms or teen moms have access to Bible study and spiritual development. But what I was seeing, and even my experience, is what about when you're homeless, or what about when you don't have the support to get to school, and then your education stops in middle school or high school? Or so how could we look at serving moms holistically to really take into account not just her spiritual needs, but the whole person, and not just that of the mom, but that of the child? And so that's kind of where you and I met. At Dreamier was when I was trying to put pen to paper on what could this look like? How could I expand the reach in my community to serve this specific group of mothers really well? So I, as one does, I started a nonprofit.
As one does.
As one does. So really it was, I knew I wanted to serve moms. I knew that I wanted housing to be a part of the equation because so many struggled with that. Having safe, stable housing. And so I thought, well, I'll just buy a really big house and move some moms in. And that house, praise God, wasn't available. I don't ever recommend anyone just buying a house and moving all the people in. But
yeah,
I did purchase a home in the city of Grand Rapids. And it only had 3 bedrooms, so it was enough for me and my son. But what we started doing, I just started hosting a weekly dinner. And to any young moms between the ages of 13 and 24, I would say this is a safe place where you can come and I'll feed you. And so that first year, we ended up having 53 families come through. And that was when I realized that sooner rather than later, I would need to create the 501c3 entity,
right?
That became Grace's Table. So I did that for a few years while still working in my finance career. And then just a couple years ago, I left that career and I work full time for Grace's Table, the nonprofit that I created.
Wow. So. Okay. So you made the transition then?
I made the leap. Wow. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. That's not a decision that anybody makes lightly. But I think even for me personally, I mean, we all have experiences from childhood on that, you know, create and shape the way who we are and how we see the world. And for me, a lot of the struggle that I experienced early on as a young mom, not having a home right away, like all of those barriers to access to just basic needs. I worked really hard, but I had this fear, this lingering fear all the time. Like, what if the bottom falls out?
Yeah.
It really impacted my relationship with God because I wanted to trust him that he would take care of me, but I constantly would take that back. And I still have to work on that.
Yeah.
But thinking about when I was in the process of thinking about leaving my job, I was at a good place. Like, our needs were met and we were comfortable, you know, financially. And it was like, okay, if I am going to go out on my own, there's not necessarily going to be a paycheck there every other week, right? And, or benefits, or all of these things that I had worked so hard to create. It was really this like letting go of control in choosing. It was me having to choose to trust God in this transition. And it took a couple years for me to get to that place. I knew that this is where I was going to be, but it was a slow journey. It was a slow journey, but I will never forget waking up one morning and what had been a very anxious place for me was replaced with peace.
That's good. You know,
yeah. Peace that I couldn't explain. And I knew that it was the right time.
Right. Yeah. That's how you kind of just know that green light is on.
Yeah.
And to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so in your work, and I've gotten to witness a little bit, just a tiny little smidgen of kind of the full picture of what you guys do. I was able to attend a dinner and hold some really cute babies that made me miss my kids. I was like, oh,
you're so cute.
And just have a really great meal and see like the volunteer team that you developed and how devoted they are to what you're doing. And I'd love to know, you know, we've maybe had a couple other moms on this show who have mothered from a place of like singleness or, you know, maybe post-divorce or, you know, they're just not in that typical, you know, situation that like where the support might not be as available. And I'd love to know kind of what are some of the things that you're passionate about coming from this work. I know you're obviously passionate about the work, but like things that you think people might not really realize about being a single mom or being a teen mom or things that like this audience might find illuminating, like, whoa, I didn't realize that, you know, and because we don't have time to think about, we're so in our own heads and our own experiences, especially as moms. It's like, I remember thinking as a mom of a newborn going, how do single moms even survive one night? Mm-hmm. I mean, just one night where I could just roll over and go, honey, please take this kid. Like, I'm going to lose it.
Oh, my word.
What are some of those things that you wish people knew more or just?
Sure. I mean, I think one of the big things that I always kind of start with is just a lot of times, you know, there's the stigma around teen motherhood or ideas of how girls become moms at such an early age. In my history of working with moms, and there have been hundreds of moms that I've worked with, never once was an 11-year-old one of the young moms who was just fooling around and got pregnant, right? I think we forget, we don't pause to think that sometimes these little girls who are parents are trying to figure out how to raise children because they were violated, or that there is, you know, just the huge amount of sacrifice that has happened for that led them to this place. I think it's easy to quickly pass judgment. I'm guilty of it myself. But I think, and this is just kind of a life lesson in general, that it's like how often, like you were saying, like we're so egocentric, right? Like it's all about us. But what if we just paused to be curious for a moment about the person that's sitting in front of us, and instead of assign storylines to why they are the way they are, to be curious and ask a question or to say, can you tell me about that? So I think that's a big one for me of just, there are lots of heartbreaking stories and there's lots of, there's just lots of stories. And I think ultimately, teen pregnancy or teen motherhood is not the root issue that's going on. It's a symptom of a deeper need that hasn't been met or something that's not been healed. And we have an opportunity to engage at a deeper level if we just pause for a minute. So,
good. Isn't it like a statistic, like 1 in 5 girls at this point, or maybe more than that?
One in five are sexually abused. Yeah, one in five women will, yeah, experience domestic violence or sexual abuse, rape. So I think that's a big one, just remembering to take a minute and be curious. I think another thing is oftentimes we want, like, wondering, like, well, why wouldn't they just do it the way that I do it, right? Like, we want them to do things the way that we would do them. But their history doesn't necessarily support that. We've all had different upbringings. We have different lenses that we see the world through. There may be no value. The value systems could be very different. And I think, too, even just recognizing a lot of times when we serve in places that are different than what our life is like, we kind of look at ourselves and think, oh my gosh, it's so great. Look at what I can do, or look at what I did. Right. But to look at it differently and to see that, yes, you are bringing something to the table, but so is she.
Yeah. Like,
she has so much to teach me that I have no idea. I've never experienced. And we both have value, and we are both bringing different experiences to the table. And from that place, we can grow together. She can encourage me. I can encourage her. Yeah. And I think too, like, a lot of times we want to have all the answers. And so that sometimes even keeps us out of serving or engaging in relationships. No matter, I mean, as moms, we all have one thing in common, right? We're moms. Who knows? It doesn't matter how you became a mom, but you have this other life that's dependent on you. But through those stories, we've all had experiences that can really encourage the mom that's sitting right next to us. So,
so good. It's so good to, yeah, I think just remember that when you feel like you're helping someone, like you said, it's a two-way street, you know. Mm-hmm. and not to, I mean, I think historically there is just a lot of stigma around, yeah, you know, early motherhood, even outside of marriage and all of that. And so it's, I love that you're willing to have those conversations and say, you know, look, it's a lot more complicated than what you might imagine. And it's really simple. And the easy way out is to just kind of shame someone and say, wow, you just really made a terrible choice, didn't you? You know, it's like being able to ask the right questions and being willing to look below the surface,
mm-hmm,
is so valuable. And yeah, like you said, I know these moms have so much to give and so much to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you see their, like, biggest needs being when they come to you? Is it more practical? I mean, are you doing, like, triage basically on the practical stuff and then getting to the deeper stuff down the line? Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah. I mean, most of the time when moms come to Grace's Table, so you experience like a dinner and an activity the night that you came. So a lot of things, like, we've grown through the years. And so we talk about, we have these five pillars at Grace's Table of that create space for young moms. And that space is an acronym where we ensure that she's getting care in these five areas. So there's spiritual exploration, wherever she's at, when she's ready. We are a place where she gets to belong before she believes. It's up to her, right? She is the driver of these things. It's parenting discipleship. It's giving her adolescent space where she is still a teenager needing to develop. And then career coaching and education for life. So that's, we'll help you work on your GED or getting your diploma, or then is it just life skills in general? So a lot of the times moms connect with us because they're looking for people they can depend on. They just don't have community. And they've heard that this is a place where they can come, where it's peaceful, where they're not going to be judged, where they're going to get a little bit of assistance with, like, basic needs, whether it be, you know, visiting our hygiene pantry or our diaper and wipes pantry. And then from there, it starts to go deeper. So the other reason that moms would reach out to us, and this is, I mean, we get calls a few a week, is moms that are in desperate need of housing. We have a huge housing crisis here in Grand Rapids. There's just not affordable housing here. And even the housing, if you can afford it, you just can't access it. There's just not enough of it here. Mm-hmm. And so just yesterday I got a call from a young mom. She's got a one-year-old little boy and there's no resources for her and she just needs a place to stay. So it's kind of navigating that, making phone calls, connecting them with resources in our community that might be able to be that that link for them to get the help they need. So there's a variety of ways, but generally they come because they're looking for safe community. And out of that gives us the opportunity to go deeper. And we'll work through all of those, you know, those five pillars with them. And then we also provide professional counseling for all of our moms that want that. We just don't want, you know, finances to be a barrier. So we've connected with a few really incredible agencies in town. And then we cover the cost of that so that the moms can access it. So we've had some dads take us up on that too, which is kind of cool.
That's really cool. That's really so great. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs that, mm-hmm. no matter where you are in life.
Yeah.
But the need is even greater when you're in a crisis situation and it's like, you know, but like you said, a lot of times historically it's been, well, profess these beliefs or whatever. And you know, you can get access to these resources. And it's like, that just has always seemed so upside down to me.
Yeah.
And so I love that you're providing just the basic needs and then giving them opportunity to just move through those five pillars at their own pace. And when they're ready, I love that. And so I'd love to know, last but not least, what your dreams are for Grace's Table.
Oh, my dreams for Grace's Table. I think, let's see. One of the things, so when we started, it was really just creating a space where moms could come and share a meal, knowing that we would grow into have these opportunities where more moms could be served with more practical life skills and opportunities, but then also creating a residential program where moms could come and live for 12 to 18 months. So we're currently in the midst of a capital campaign, raising the funding that will help us purchase a home and the land needed to build out that program. So the focus for that during those 12 to 18 months, not only will they work through all five of those pillars more intensely than if they were just coming in once a week for class, but they will also complete their high school education while they're with us.
Okay.
And if they already have that component in place, we'll work with them on whether it's trade school or college or connecting them with somebody that can help them, you know, on the entrepreneurial side, if that is more, you know, it's everything is tailored to who the moms are. So that's a big next step. And then ultimately, we would love to see, this is a need. It doesn't matter what town you live in. There are teen moms, you know, across the globe. But nationally, in the future, we want to see Grace's Table across the U.S. Because we know that the need is there and it's a pretty simple model that meets practical needs, but also knits hearts together through nourishing physical needs and soul needs at the same time. So
I love that. National.
Mm-hmm.
In every city.
Coming to a city near you. Who knows? So yeah, I mean, those are some of my bigger dreams. Yeah.
It has been so cool to watch a lot of the Dreamier alumni, but especially you, kind of just, because I think everything was so new when we first met and kind of fresh, and it was still taking shape in your mind, in your heart. And it's been so awesome to watch the growth and like the trajectory of your vision and your dream kind of coming to fruition, but also like just seeing that it's literally just that day to day dogged commitment.
Yeah.
It's not like always like the sexy, you know, I'm the lights, the cameras, the whatever.
No.
They just don't see it.
It's poopy diapers.
Right.
A lot of spit up and reflux. And then the whole side of like developing process and procedures and fun development. And also like, how do you, you're not only nurturing these young women and their kiddos, but you're nurturing, you know, your staff, and you're nurturing a multitude of volunteers who make it possible to care really well for this community. And so ultimately, like, my heart beats to gather people. I love to create space at a table and for you to walk in and feel known. Like, that is, that makes my heart sing, right? And so not only do I get to do that with young moms, but then all of these other people that have said, oh, we see the vision and we want to be a part of God's plan and carrying this out, right? So yeah, it's just really neat.
So good. And I've experienced that firsthand. So you're at Enneagram 2.
I'm at Enneagram 2.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That so perfectly fits your vision. And I love that you are so clear about what lights you up. Like, I think that's something that a lot of moms, especially in the younger years, like, that is a very foggy question. You know, it's like, I don't know, you know?
Having a shower.
Showers light me up. But I think, I mean, and you are like in your mothering journey further down the line. And, but you're not saying like, this job lights me up, or this, you know, this amount of money in the bank lights me up. You're going, this particular thing lights me up, and that's what I'm going to keep doing for other people.
Yeah.
And that's how you know you'll never, I mean, not that you're not growing, you haven't ever grown weary, or you haven't been weary, or you haven't had ups and downs, but that's how you know, like, you're going to stick to it because this is what you're called to, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's so, so cool to watch. So thank you for, you know, just letting us be a part of it. Okay. Last but not least, where can everyone find you online? Sure. And how can people help support the mission of Grace's Table?
So let's see, Facebook and Instagram, our handle is at Around Grace's Table,
mm-hmm.
Around Grace's Table, or just our website is gracestable.com.
Okay.
GRACESTABLE.com.
Okay.
And the best ways that people could support right now, I would just say one is prayer for our next steps, especially with our capital campaign to create housing for young moms. I would love prayer for just wisdom and next steps. And then certainly financially, to have people that would say, you know, is it, yes, we want to step up and support a mom by you know, providing a meal. The cost of a meal is $100 that feeds our whole, you know, group for one night. You know, you could do that monthly, mm-hmm. or that, you know, providing a gift to say, I intentionally want to invest in the future by providing housing. Right. And those opportunities are on our website at gracestable.com. So,
yeah. All right, mamas with those $1 million businesses.
Hey, hey.
Get on there. Okay, so, and the capital campaign and support for that is still ongoing, right?
It is. Okay. Yep, it is ongoing. So we're in the midst of working towards a goal. We had identified a property that ended up not working out. And so we are continuing to raise our funding and searching for a new property so that we will be resourced financially and ready to make the offer once we find that location that will be perfect for creating safety, stability, and future for young moms and their babies.
I love it. And I can't wait to make another road trip up to Grand Rapids to see it.
Oh, it's great. If you guys want, November 7th, if you're in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
We're having our very first, I don't know if you can see that.
I can see that. Very good.
I'm showing Hillary, you guys.
I'll put it up on the show notes too.
Awesome. November 7th, we're having our very first fundraiser, which is so cool.
Love me a good fundraiser.
we've never done one of these and we're super excited to do it. And it's also kind of neat because we're turning 5 years old. So this year we officially turned five, which is cool.
Wow.
So November 7th, we're celebrating Grace's Table and finding hope together as we look to the future and make the vision clear.
Girl, I want to be there.
I love it.
Let's do a road trip. I listened to all of Serial on the way up there. I got a lot done in that trip. One last thing. I know this is I promise this is it. What is one thing you're loving right now? Or that just anything that's like making your life better, happier, more joyful, more delightful.
Yes. Okay. Anyone can do this.
Okay.
At the end of every day, okay, I'm checking in with these eight emotions to see where am I at or how was my day. So was it anger? Was it sadness? Was it hurt? Was it loneliness? Was it guilty? Was it shameful? Was it glad? And so I check in with those eight emotions at the end of the day, and it just kind of helps me focus in on maybe three of them that I was feeling really strongly, kind of journal about my day, and gives me an opportunity to ask God, like, where are those feelings coming from? Or what can I be learning about myself or where I'm going from that? So yeah, taking those, I mean, I get it. Motherhood does not afford us a ton of time to do these check-in, right?
Yeah.
But like taking 5 minutes at the end of the day to check in with my emotions has been a really big thing for me lately. So
I love that. That's more than I do. It's typically like a Netflix and then right on into the unconscious state.
Yes.
I like that. That's like an intentional, I'm trying to get better about the sleep hygiene and you know, yada, yada, all that.
I know.
But I feel like it's doable. That's doable. You know,
small, practical, helpful tips.
I love that. Lisa, this is so good. I cannot wait to share this with everybody. We will link to all that information in the show notes so they can access the website and see how to support you guys. Love you. Just so thankful for you. Thanks, friend.
Thank you so much. All right.
Thanks so much for listening to the Whole Motherhood Podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, please be sure to leave a review in iTunes. You can find us many places online, including our website, wholemotherhood.co, and you can download this podcast anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. You can also email us at hillary@wholemotherhood.co or amanda@wholemotherhood.co. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Whole Motherhood. If you'd like a weekly dose of Whole Motherhood in your inbox, including curated links and updates, you can subscribe to our newsletter.